Talk about a life of service. And I got to thinking that all of our life stories, each and every one of us, are really small pieces embedded in God's beautiful providence. That really the story is God's, and we are but lines in that story, and we play a part in God's plan for all of eternity when we live our lives. And each one of us lives our lives in slightly different times, and for many of us, there are overlaps, which are a blessing. And yet, so as I think about tonight, I think about Pastor Mike and Karen and your involvement in God's plan, which is really the significance, and how he brought you to this place to carry out your part of his plan for all of eternity. And that's beautiful. And so I'd like to have a word of prayer, and we'll spend some time there. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you so much. What a privilege that we have the ability to celebrate you, dear God, and that we have the privilege of being part of your plan and the opportunity, Lord, to serve you. Who are we to be of any use to you, the Most High God? And yet, dear Lord, you have chosen to use us. And God, I thank you for that. I pray that you would just bless our time now in Christ's name. Amen. When you talk about service, you cannot talk about it without the context of the New Testament church. The New Testament church is the foundation upon which all of Christ's work rests. He is the pillar and ground of that. He is the chief cornerstone. And I want to just focus a little bit on the church first. Turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 if you have your Bible with me. We're just going to look at a few verses together. My goal and my hope is that I can frame properly and appropriately the contributions and the service of Pastor Mike and Karen within the context of God's plan. For at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the glory is God's. And it's Christ who must have preeminence in all things. And so as we even consider these two folks that we love so much, we do so mindful of the fact that all that has been done has been done because of God. And everything that has been wrought and every work that has been done, every life that has been changed is because of the goodness of God and God's decision to use people for his work. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, we see this. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is talking and he says, I will build my church. I will build my church. You see, Christ is the builder of the church. He's not talking about some ethereal, mystical church. He's talking about the church. This church. Christ builds the church. And it's important that we understand that no man builds the church. The Bible says that unless the Lord watches over the work, they labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. So anything that has been built here has been built by Christ through the hands and the feet and the hearts of people, many of whom you saw on the screen. And I think that in talking to Pastor Mike before this evening, I believe with all my heart that it's important to him that we acknowledge God as the architect and the builder. And I will forever wonder until I get to heaven why God chose to use us. Why God chose to use people to do this most amazing and blessed work of sharing the gospel and touching lives. What a profound blessing to be entrusted with that opportunity. But Jesus Christ builds the church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 tells us that not only is he the builder, but he is the foundation. I have spoken before about what it means to be the cornerstone. Here in Ephesians chapter 20 and verse 19, It says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You see, because of Christ, we become a family. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." You see, Jesus Christ is the perfect stone. The stone the builders rejected is that is yet perfect and smooth on all sides and set in its exact right orientation to the Father, that everything that's built upon it, coming off of it, would be perfect and right. And we see that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church, of this church. Temple Baptist Church is built upon Christ. It's built upon the work of the apostles and the prophets. So the things that we do are done upon work done by others before us. And Lord willing, there will be things that are done on top of that which we have done for the Lord. That would be the goal, that this church would perpetuate until such time as Christ comes back, would call us home. Thirdly, we see that Jesus is not only the builder and the foundation, but he is the head. Colossians 1:18, "And he," Jesus, "is the head of the body," the church, "who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." You see, Christ not only is the builder, he is the foundation, and he is the head. Pastor Mike wasn't the head for all those years. I'm not the head now. Christ is the head of this church. And as long as we keep Christ at the head of this church, our compass will be squarely set upon pleasing him. When any organization begins to care more about the person than the God who has called the person, they err. And I want to just express that I'm thankful that Pastor Mike has always pointed to Christ and never to himself. And that's so, so important. So we see Christ is the head of the church. We also know that Christ is the architect of the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 11, "And he," Christ, "gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." You see, God had a plan. Christ came. Christ established the church. Christ is the foundation of the church. Christ is the head of the church, and he is the architect of its design. It's Christ who said, "I want to have pastors." It's Christ who says, "These are the ordinances." It's Christ who says, "This is how you should conduct yourselves," through the writings of the New Testament, through the apostles and others. You see, Christ is the one that figured all this out. And Pastor Mike is a pastor because God said we need pastors. Jesus Christ said there's going to be pastors, pastors, teachers. And that's what they're going to do. And he talked about how to do that and the character traits required in 1 Timothy and in Titus and other places. And you see, but a church is not just another organization like so many out there. It's not just an institution. It's not a club. It is the divinely created, designed, built, architecturally engineered body of Christ. And it has a beautiful place in God's work. God takes a whole bunch of imperfect people and he puts us together to carry out a perfect work. And in this diversity of giftings and talents and callings, there is a unity that comes through Christ. That profound dichotomy is found no place else. Found no place else. And it's a beautiful thing. In 1 Peter chapter 5, let me just read this for you. It says, verses 1 through 4, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort." So not only does he architect, he design the church, the system, the structure, things like that, but he says, "I'm going to give you coaching on how to do it. Who am also an elder," Peter says, "and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you." Feed the flock. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Do the job willingly. Not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind, a heart that's right to serve God. You see, God's talking about, through Peter here, he's talking about the attitude with which we shepherd. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, well, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it? When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. A promise to the pastor. A promise. You see, God has a plan. God is the builder. Christ is the foundation. He is the head. He is the architect. He is the one who describes what it should look like. And within the context of all of that, we have Pastor Mike. It says in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, teachers. You see, he calls people. God calls people to serve him. Unlikely people, sometimes seemingly unwilling people, to do a task that they never pictured themselves doing. And such was the case with Pastor Mike. I don't think when you were a teenager you pictured yourself as a pastor. No. And yet that's what God pictured. And God called him. You know, when you get a call, you have a choice. Say yes or no. When God called Jonah, he said no. When God called Pastor Mike, he said yes. Okay? And it's important to realize that at some point, way before you, maybe, and I knew him, there was a point when he had to, in spite of his fears and his feelings of inadequacy to the call and his smallness compared to God's greatness, in faith said yes. Because he serves a big God. And he knew that even though he wasn't able, God was. On March 11th, 1979, Temple Baptist Church became Temple Baptist Church. And from that date until December 31st, 2017, Pastor Mike has fulfilled the call God had placed upon his life as pastor. Faithfully, diligently, lovingly, with always a mind to the fact that he serves Christ. I did just a little bit of math there, and he taught somewhere around 6,160 sermons. How many of you, the thought of speaking in public terrifies you? Imagine being terrified 6,160 times. He led at least 2,000 Wednesday night prayer meetings. By the way, we're still counting. He has led or sang in services at least 16,508 hymns. Stop and think about that. No wonder he knows most of them by heart. I think of the number of people that he has baptized, visited, shared the gospel with, counseled with, comforted, gone to the hospital with, and how many times he has celebrated their weddings and oversaw their funerals. He has said hello to babies and goodbye to friends. You see, the thing that's consistent over all that time from March to now, while in that picture some have come and some have gone. Some have gone to be with the Lord. Some God has moved to other places and some, regrettably, have drifted away. But in all of that time, there's somebody who's never left. Someone who's never not fulfilled his call. And that's you, Pastor Mike. And God has given you the strength to do that and grown you in grace. I'm reminded of a class that I took from Pastor Mike, and that was in 84, I think, on how to preach a sermon. In 1990, Pastor Mike taught a class on how to prepare a sermon. And myself and Rick Warner and some others took that class. And that was the first time I actually thought, well, maybe God could use me as a preacher. And who would have known that that was the beginning of Pastor Mike preparing his successor to pick up what he had carried for all those years and to follow his example of faithfulness. It's a lot easier to do the job when you have a good example to have followed. It's a lot easier to do the job when you inherit the job from someone who has left it healthy and a church sound with truth. And I'm thankful for all of that. But he didn't do it alone. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see the qualifications for a bishop. And I'm not going to read through all of them. I think that they're all wonderful, and each one could be a lesson in its own, but I want to just get to this, to first two. It says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." It's a good work. "A bishop then must be blameless." And then comes these five little words, "the husband of one wife." And here we have Karen. He is the husband of one wife. She just has the energy of three. The ambition of six. And the vision of 20. And Karen has been his faithful partner in ministry all these years. I cannot count how many children's churches you have taught, how many vacation Bible schools you have been part of, how many kids you have led to the Lord. And even those you didn't lead to the Lord, you certainly paved the way for that through your teaching. How many times you have been part of providing meals, setting up for fellowships, weddings, funerals, flowers, women's ministry, all the things that you've done. Okay. Amen. Okay. I don't think that it's possible for a man to be a pastor without a wife who's willing to be a pastor's wife. Amen. This can't happen. And the hardest time is at the beginning, when you have very little except the hope and the faith in God. And so from the beginning, Karen Gilchrist, you have been there. And you work right beside him. And you've been faithful. And you've been energetic and enthusiastic and musical and soft and kind and faithful. And that's made him be able to be the pastor he needed to be. Because you couldn't be one without the other. And so as we come to a close of the lesson, I want to just say that their example hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. You see, they're retired, but they still serve. Let that sink in. They're retired from a job, but not retired from the Lord, not from ministry. We'll work, like the song says, till Jesus comes. And I am thankful, personally. I moved up here in 1980 and got married to Shelley. And the only person I knew was her. And her family. And her family didn't like me. Shocking, I know. they like me now. But I was a pretty lonely guy. I really was. Because I had moved from the town I grew up in, was born in, had known all my life. My family's still there. My mom's here tonight, but my whole family was there. And I moved up here because she was worth it. But I didn't know how lonely I would be. And then in the spring of 1981, we came to Temple Baptist Church. And Pastor and Karen weren't here. That day they were speaking someplace else. And we had a guy that was a Mormon missionary. And actually, he was a missionary to the Mormons. But I was nervous about coming to this church called Temple Baptist. So I didn't know what a Temple Baptist was. And I had never been around, grew up around Mormons. And so I thought, this was a Mormon-Baptist hybrid, if there is such a thing. And so I was hesitant to come. And Bob and Joyce Rust kept really hounding us to come to church. And because Shelley worked with Joyce, and I said, I kept telling my wife in our private conversations, I don't know what a Temple Baptist is. And I'm not sure we want to find out by experience. And of course, that was way before the internet. So the only way you could find out was to just like show up. So we came. And that day, Bob says, oh, yeah, well, pastor's not here today. He and Karen, they're gone. But we have a Mormon missionary today. And I thought, I knew it. I told Shelley, we're going to be polite, and then we're going to leave. And this guy introduces himself, and he says, my name is Gary Carlson. I'm a missionary to the Mormons. I said, oh, okay. So we came back the next week, and we met Pastor and Karen and their family. And there were other people that were there as well. Gary and Sid, where are you guys at? One of the first people we had dinner with was Gary and Sid Howden there. And when I first came, the church didn't have any partitions in the bathrooms. It was that new. And I thought, when I walked in the bathroom, this is a very friendly church. So one of the first things that I volunteered to do was to build partitions in the bathroom. So in the basement of Gary and Sid's house, you remember that, Gary? Using plywood and trim, we built partitions. Because I refused to not have partitions. And God gave me, a lonely guy who was 21 years old, a family. And that family was really, apart from Shelley and later Logan, was the only family up here I had. And that family was faithful through all the years of my career in law enforcement, all the years that in a profession that wrecks many people's lives. God protected me physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and a big part of that protection was the consistency and the faithfulness that I found in this church. And that was all of the friends that I had here and still do, and the family in all of you, and most importantly, in the pastor that has been my pastor for all those years. And I just thank you both from all of us for all that you've done. And I'm thankful that you're still here, that you didn't retire and leave. That is the way that it often happens. And it's harder to do it the way we have done it because it requires everyone to be gracious and Christ-like, but it's better. Amen. And God has been faithful in this entire thing. And I'm just thankful to the Lord that in His eternal plan, in this little piece right here, that we find ourselves together. Amen. So I'd like to invite the two of you to come up, please, just for a moment before we go to the dinner together. Come on up. Right. Well, so this is for Pastor and Karen. This is a monetary gift that's actually probably more for Karen than for Pastor. We do counseling on Thursdays. And this Mariner's bag is filled with great gifts. Amen. From Target.
From Target.
No, actually, as you know, if you may not know, Pastor Mike is a avid Mariners fan, and one of his very favorite players is Edgar Martinez. And you will find in this bag a whole host,
really,
of Mariners stuff.
Wow.
Randy Dunn, who went over to the Mariners game just yesterday, correct? Spent much time at the team store for us.
Thank you, Randy.
He was our scout. He was our advanced group. And in here is everything Mariners.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
And it's a great time to give it to you because they're actually in first place. We've waited all these years. But seriously, on behalf of all of us, to the two of you, thank you so much. We love you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I'd like to invite you guys to stay right here with me. We're going to all stand and turn in our hymnals to 681. If you need it, it's Family of God. We're going to sing it together. And then we'll be have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. And if you have one of those little cards, there is a basket over at the entrance to the gym to drop it in. We're going to go over there and have just a time of fellowship together and then a time of sharing. Let's sing this together. 681, the Family of God.
So glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this on. For I'm part of the family of God.
Let's pray together. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much that you call us to serve you and you call us to do it together. I pray that you would bless the fellowship to our hearts, dear God. I pray that you would bless the food to our bodies, dear Lord. And I pray that tonight, Pastor Mike and Karen and Matt and Dana as well would be truly blessed by the outpouring of love and appreciation that is toward them, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Let's let the family go first, then we'll join in the gym.